Aside from the major melody of advertising sales and such for Christmas, there's another undertone to be heard this time of year, and that is the sound of charities and other nonprofits seeking your donations before the end of the calendar year. Budget advantages for them, a potential tax deduction for you. We speak from experience. You've probably heard the announcements here on JPR asking for donations. Fortunately, JPR did not end up on the list we're about to talk about, and that is the Oregon Justice Department's annual list of the Attorney General's 20 worst charities. Within the Department of Justice, Ellen Clem is the Director of Consumer Outreach and Education, and she's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange today. Ellen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. This is an annual event. I know we had talked about the 2012 list and probably the 2011 and 2010 as well. Why does the Department of Justice compile the list of the 20 worst charities?
We compile this list every year because we want Oregonians to know that the bulk of the charities that are registered in Oregon are doing great work, but there are a select number that are not. And they're using your funds for things other than the charitable mission. And that's important for people to know. This is their hard-earned money, and they want it to go to a good cause. And if it's not, we should let them know about it. And that's the number one reason why we issue the list.
Well, the quality of money handling aside, are these charities generally operating within the law?
You know, they are. It's my understanding that they are, but they're misleading consumers. They're telling consumers that they're going to be spending the donation on X or Y, and in reality, they're spending the donation on marketing or other administrative expenses. And that's not the intent of the individuals, the vast majority, we believe, that have donated funds to these charities.
Right. If you're giving to a place that says the law enforcement education program, which is number one on the list, you hope it ends
sure.
up on some law enforcement effort.
Sure.
And
sure.
To be clear, are any of these the top 20 worst charities actually from the state of Oregon? They're all doing business in Oregon, but that's not the same thing as being from the state of Oregon.
True. And none are. I believe there are two on the list that are from Washington, but none of the charities that made our list this year are from or headquartered in Oregon. So that's good news for Oregonians.
Seems like it's been a trend for a couple of years anyway that the Oregonian organizations don't end up on here.
Yes. We've seen that over the years, which is great news for charities that are headquartered or located here in Oregon, because we do encourage folks to donate locally. We think that it's important to give to charities that give back to local communities. So that's one of the tips we have is research the charity before you donate. Make sure that they're doing good associated with a cause you believe in, and all of us can get behind local causes. So that's a good tip for folks to keep in mind.
Are all of these 20 worst charities listed, set up as nonprofits?
I believe they are. It's my understanding that they wouldn't be on this list otherwise.
All right. So if you would explain the state filing process here, if you do fundraise in Oregon, what do you have to do, even if you're from another state?
You have to be registered with the Oregon Department of Justice. The Oregon Department of Justice is unique in a lot of aspects, but one is that we actually regulate charities. A lot of states, Florida, for example, doesn't regulate charities. Oregon does. So if you're a charity from Alexandria, Virginia, for example, you have to file certain paperwork in the state if you're going to solicit donations from Oregonians. And you can find all that information on our website. Pretty easy to do, doesn't take a lot of time, but we want to know what's going on in the state. We want to protect consumers, and we want to make sure that charities that are soliciting donations here are doing it within the law. So that's why we ask them to do those things, like file paperwork with us, and then we can monitor them and just keep an eye on them.
Ellen Clem is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's with the Oregon Department of Justice, where she's the Director of Consumer Outreach and Education. We are talking about the Attorney General's list of the 20 worst charities doing business in Oregon in the year 2013, and we'll get into the criteria that put them on the list in the first place. You can join us, talk about maybe some phone calls you've gotten or appeals that you have received that you thought, this sounds a little fishy to me. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. If an organization is fundraising in Oregon and has not gone through the state filing process, what are the potential penalties, Ellen?
We can do a number of things. We can, you know, reach out to the charity and just explain, hey, maybe you didn't quite understand, you know, we have this law. Sometimes that's all it takes, is just letting people know that we do have this law and that they're in violation of it. And then we have another number of tools that we can use at our disposal. Unfortunately, I'm not extremely familiar with what all those specific penalties are. I just spend the bulk of my time educating Oregonians about how they can stay safe from frauds and scams, and it's not my responsibility, fortunately, to bring the hammer down on any charity that's done wrong. But we do have some tools at our disposal, which is good.
Okay, use the hammer metaphor. I was going to say you represent the carrot and not the stick.
Yes, I do. I do. I have a wonderful, fun job of just letting people know, here's how to stay safe and make sure your donation goes to the right place and make sure that it's used wisely.
So, Ellen, what are some of the criteria that puts one of these charities on the list?
The biggest criteria on this list is that they spent 25% or less of their funds on the charitable program. So they, for example, the charity that you cited initially, the Law Enforcement Education Program of Troy, Michigan, gosh, they spent something like less than 2.7% of their expenditures on the mission of the charity, which is creating and supporting educational programs for the law enforcement community. So in that case, we've put them at the very top of our list because the rest of the money that they have raised is going towards administrative, marketing, or other causes. And that's something that we caution Oregonians against giving money to organizations like that. We say about 30 to 35% is okay to spend on marketing or other causes, but anything more is just not acceptable.
All right, so to flip that around, when you're saying 35% is okay to spend on your expenses and things, and what you're asking for then, the Better Business Bureau guideline is 65% should be spent on your charitable cause?
Sure. Yeah, that's one sort of guideline that we have out there. There are other guidelines like from Charity Navigator, the Giving Guide, and those are all sort of good measurements for identifying a charity that is actually doing good and spending the money on the cause.
Wow, so this really is a long way. I mean, we're talking about
that
top one on the list. Instead of spending 65% on its charitable cause, listed here by the DOJ at 3.1%.
Mm-hmm.
Which is way, way, way south. Number two is Shiloh International Ministries in Laverne, California. Instead of getting to 65% of the charitable cause, 3.4%.
Yeah.
It kind of jumps up a little bit after that. Firefighter Support Foundation in Greenfield, Massachusetts, 6.6%. Not 66%, 6.6%.
Yeah.
And there are charities that actually get well north of that 65% figure spent on their cause, correct?
Absolutely. I think one of the key things as you look at this list is that a lot of the names that you've cited, they're all associated with causes we believe in. Police, fire, kids. And that's the problem, I think, is a lot of these charities are misleading consumers. They're telling them things like, our mission is to improve the quality of life of disabled veterans or needy children. And that may be true, and that may be eliciting a lot of donations from folks, but at the end of the day, very little of that money is actually going towards that cause.
Let's talk about the actual charities themselves. There's some of these names do look familiar from having done this last year. Are there repeats from last year's list?
You know, I believe there are. I haven't double-checked, but I believe there are several on this list that we've seen over the years. And that's one reason that we introduced legislation this past legislative session to address some of these charities. And the new legislation is pretty amazing. It was signed into law by the governor in June, and it affects charities that spend less than 30% of their expenses on the mission and the services. And so under this new law, organizations like this will be disqualified from eligibility for tax deductions in Oregon for Oregon income tax purposes. So that's part of the reason we introduced this legislation, is we were growing tired of seeing these sort of same repeat charities on this list. So hopefully this new legislation will, in essence, either encourage some of these charities to shape up or ship out and stop soliciting donations in Oregon.
But if they are nonprofits, would they pay any income taxes anyway?
I don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. But they'd have things like they'd have an exception for property tax. And under this new legislation, I believe that they may also lose that property tax exemption. So that would be important things.
All right. Is there any sort of protest that comes from these companies? I mean, this is getting fairly well publicized each year that the state of Oregon puts out this list of the 20 worst charities doing business in the state. I have to believe that at least one of these 20 occasionally calls your office and says, you know, this really isn't fair.
You know, they might, but we haven't heard that. I have not, and I don't believe others in our charitable activities section have heard from any of these nonprofits. So that is quite telling as well. Makes me wonder if they know that, you know, that they've made our list. So I don't know, because as we mentioned, none of them are in Oregon. So we have not heard from them.
All right, let's talk about the list again then, because the top one again, the Law Enforcement Education Program in Troy, Michigan. Number two, Shiloh International Ministries in Laverne, California. Firefighter Support Foundation in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Firefighters Charitable Foundation in Farmingdale, New York. And as you pointed out, yes, it's for law enforcement firefighters, things that appeal to us. The Wishing Well Foundation in Metairie, Louisiana. So no place particularly close to us where these organizations are based. You can bet, though, that if it was an Oregon-based organization, it would probably hold a news conference and say, you know what, it's not really fair that we're on this list. Are any Oregon organizations, and this is hard to say at once, Oregon organizations even close to being considered for this list?
I don't believe so, but I don't know. I didn't assemble this list, so I'm not entirely sure. But it is important to say that this is based on a three-year average of annual expenditures. So, for example, you know, maybe you've had a big campaign and you had a large event and you spent a lot 1 year on marketing. Well, that's fine because it's a three-year average. So that, I think, is important to keep in mind. And, you know, it's an average over 3 years. So a lot of these charities that are on here, it's not a one-time deal, like they had a particularly bad year. They've been doing this for a long time.
Oh, so that really sort of reduces the list of excuses they could potentially
mm-hmm.
deliver here. All right.
Yeah.
You've mentioned efforts from the Oregon legislature, but are there any efforts underway in home states that you're aware of to put these out of business, or at least get them to reform their fundraising and accounting?
I'm not aware of any of those efforts, no.
All right. Ellen Clem, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's with the Department of Justice, the Oregon Attorney General's Office, where she is the Director of Consumer Outreach and Education. And we're talking about the Attorney General's 20 Worst Charities 2013, the list of charities that really don't put very much money into their causes at all. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange and compare some stories about perhaps some charities you've heard of or places you've been asked to give some money and thought, you know, I better check these guys out. And upon checking, didn't turn out looking so good. Phone numbers here on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. In addition to putting out the list of 20 worst charities, what are some of the efforts that you make in the way of outreach and education to let people know about what they should be looking for when they are requested to make a donation?
I'm glad you asked that. We just issued a publication a couple months ago called The 10 Tips for Savvy Donors to Charity, and it's available on our website, which is www.oregonconsumer.gov. And if you scroll down to the right-hand side, you'll see a little link. It's called our Wise Giving Guide. And the number one tip we tell people is have a plan. Be proactive. Because if you have a plan to donate, if you've given to a particular charity every year, if you put yourself at at less risk of falling victim to some of these charities that do things like, come out with imposters. So a lot of bogus charities, they often use names or logos that look like other well-known organizations. But if you have a plan every year and you know exactly where to send your check, you know exactly who to call, then you're not going to fall victim to those bogus charities or those imposters. So we have 10 tips on that brochure, and they're pretty simple tips. Research before you donate, only give to registered charities, say no to pressure, etc. So that's one of the things we do. I also tour all around the state and talk to different senior groups, different youth groups, different church groups about how they can stay safe from these frauds or scams related to charities. So we do a mix of print and in-person education.
Is this often directed at seniors? And I ask this in particular because it leads into a discussion of the ways in which people can do their research. I mean, if you're not computer savvy, which tends to affect older age groups, what are some of the options you have available for you? But let's come back to square one. Is this generally aimed at senior citizens?
A lot of frauds and scams in general are aimed at senior citizens because they're home during the day. They're often very isolated from friends and family. And so scammers know that they can easily reach them by phone or even through door-to-door solicitations. So, yes, we do see a lot of these charitable scams and frauds targeting seniors. And they often have more money in some cases. And they're often more trustworthy. There's a number of things that make them vulnerable to these frauds and scams. And so we focus a lot of our efforts on reaching that particular age group and letting them know. But you're absolutely 100% correct about their access to computers and their ability to search our online database, for example. So because of that, we have a phone number that they can call, and that's 971-673-1880. And that is our charitable activities section. And if you have a particular question about a charity, say you want to know exactly how much they spend on the mission, just give us a call and we can walk you through that information and share that with you.
And that was 971-673-1880?
That is the number, yeah.
Okay. And about how long will people expect to, it's not toll-free, I see, but how long will people expect to stay on the phone?
It varies. It shouldn't take long for our folks at that section to search the database and find out the information that they need. Our goal is to get information into the hands of consumers before they make these donations. So we'll take as much time as we need with somebody to walk them through that.
And what is the web address, too, if they want to be able to use the online database?
The easiest way to find us is at OregonConsumer.gov and then navigate through our website to the charitable activities section.
All right. So that is for people who do have web access. And there's, you did mention Charity Navigator, which is pretty familiar to people who've been donating to charities and working online for years. But what does that do? What is the service that is offered through Charity Navigator?
Charity Navigator has a similar database where you can search to find out different information. I'm pulling up the website right now. They have a top 10 list of, say, for example, the top 10 most celebrity-related charities. So there's just a lot of really good information on that website. You can also search for a particular charity and find out, you know, what their status is. I think Charity Navigator gives stars. So, for example, they might be a 4-star rated charity. And what does that mean? The Charity Navigator folks can give you more details on how that ranking is established. You know, overall, what is their financial outlook? What about accountability? What about transparency? And that score will kind of be broken down for you.
And they will give you an idea of how much of the money actually goes to the charity, right? I mean, to the cause, yes. Okay. So that's a big one available at Charity Navigator, which is the basis for the Oregon list.
Sure.
Obviously, some of these organizations that end up on the list of the 20 worst charities doing business in Oregon have names that sound similar to other organizations, and I wonder if you're aware, Ellen, of any of the major organizations trying to crack down on the little guys, take them to court and say, hey, quit sounding so much like us. You mentioned the ones that use similar logos even.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any particular cases where they've sued a bogus imposter charity, but I'm certain that they're on the lookout for these because they are particularly nasty and they are taking away donations from the bigger, larger, more robust and legitimate charities. So we've seen that. We've seen these imposter charities where they've sent out letters claiming, you know, instead of the American Red Cross, they're the American Cross, for example. Hmm. So their entire goal is to try to confuse people. And they might even say things in their letter like, thank you so much for your donation of $25 last year.
Oh, right, to thank you for something that didn't happen. Okay, so lots of information available, though. Again, OregonConsumer.gov if you're online. If you're not, 971-673-1880. You can call us for that number. We'll put it on Facebook today. Ellen Clem, the Department of Justice Director of Consumer Outreach and Education, thank you so much for your time on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thanks so much for having me, and happy holidays.